What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to this bonus episode of the Crash Bang Boom podcast I've dubbed Atlanta Drummond Series. This episode features Evan Price of Atlanta's own Apostle and Ladybird. It's part of what I hope will be an ongoing series similar to the New Orleans and Brooklyn Drummond Series I've done previously, where I talk to some local players and hear about their scene, their background, and all that jazz. So I hope y'all dig it. Apostle release show Thursday, February 1st at the Star Bar here in Atlanta. New EP Liminal is available everywhere. Today's episode is sponsored by OneUpLoops.com. Drummer Carson Gain and his team spent an incredible amount of time recording over 450,000 shaker, tambourine, and hi-hat loops at every possible tempo in multiple fields with incredible mics and outboard gear for you to pick and choose. It's organized for you to find exactly what you need with just a few clicks, and everything feels and sounds incredible. You can sign up for free to check it out and gain full access to all 450,000 loops starting at just $6 a month. No download limits, whatever you want, whenever you want. New loops, one shots, and drum breaks are being added weekly. Definitely a great addition to the arsenal of any drummer and or producer, and I can vouch for it myself, having used it. Check it out at oneuploops.com. Crash Bang Boom Podcast can be found where all podcasts are found, including Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, and more. If you like what you hear, please check out any of the previous 280-plus episodes, and you can give me a like and or a subscription or even a positive review, as I would appreciate it. All right, let's get into it. Evan Price, Apostle, Lady Bird, and more. Crash, bang, boom.
Crowds go mad with joy.
Yes! All right, Evan Price of Apostle right here in Atlanta, Georgia. Evan, what's happening, man?
What's up, Jody? Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely, dude. Congrats on the new EP, Liminal. I know y'all signed with Terminus Hate City. I don't know if that's just management and or the label. Are y'all on the label as well? Is it like a whole encompassing kind of thing?
Yeah, so it's definitely label, which, by the way, thank you for that. Yeah. Obviously, I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jay Crash, he runs the label. For the most part, we're self-managed, but he definitely... through his connections and just through him just being kind of a communal figure, he definitely helps us out with certain things as far as certain promotions, also connections, just people in the industry, so on and so forth. So,
gotcha.
But largely we are internally managed.
Yeah. Gotcha, man. Yeah. The last time I saw y'all, it was a really cool gig at Star Bar. It was y'all, Canopy, Palaces, and Laser Wolf. And I thought it was such a cool just bill put together of all these local bands. And it reminded me of kind of the 90s in New Orleans where, you know, centered around maybe one or two clubs, you kind of had this scene that popped up between these bands that made for interesting bills. So it was kind of nostalgic in that sense. And it was cool to kind of see everybody supporting each other and just kind of how cool that whole bill was all together, man. It gave me the idea that I need to start talking to some local guys. So you're the first.
Yeah, man. I appreciate that. There's definitely some monsters out there. And, you know, to your point, having a mixed bill is just, I mean, first of all, it's just really fun to be a part of different, you know, subgenres or whatever you want to call it of the metal genre itself. They're just shows like that is just ripe for just creativity and just studying. I like to study other musicians and drummers as well, not to make it like a total... you know, to take away the fun and the human element of it, but you know, you get an inside look on just kind of what inspires other artists and people, and it's just kind of like a melting pot of community really at the end of the day. So we love mixed bills, and that bill itself was a really, really fun one.
Yeah, for real. Are there some other bands that maybe weren't on that bill that y'all have played some shows with or feel that, the other bands out there that could have just as well been on that bill or maybe part of sort of a scene of some kind in Atlanta?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So Bumpy, he plays bass for Palaces. He also does vocals for them.
Yep.
He plays in a band called Popeyes. They kind of remind me of a little bit of like crust punk, kind of hardcore punk. In the vein of like Baptists, mm-hmm. Which I was listening to a bunch of the older episodes of Crash Bang Boom, and I listened to, you know, Nick Yakishins, and you know, that was cool. So
yeah.
To kind of go back and reference that,
but right?
They remind me a lot of Baptists. Zach, their drummer, he just has he's a force to be reckoned with. He's an incredible drummer.
Nice,
good friend of mine as well. Who else? Holy Wound. they're great. I don't want to like specify them in any sort of subgenre category, but they're very unique. They're really cool. Mannequin Grove easily probably could have played that bill as well. In Memories, they're kind of a split Atlanta and Athens band, but
Okay.
very nostalgic, like post-hardcore, melodic hardcore in the vein of like Poison the Well to a certain extent, Thursday, Hope's Fall, bands like that. So
Gotcha.
the list goes on. That's just kind of what's beautiful about the Atlanta scene is just the diversity within it.
Totally. Well, again, congrats on Liminal, man. Tell me a little bit about
Thank you.
getting in. Where did y'all record this thing? And what was your experience recording the drum parts?
So we record with Connor Ray. He runs a studio out of his house called Sobek Sound. Good friend of ours. He recorded the one before Liminal and the split directly before preceding Liminal. So we knew what we were walking into. We knew, he knows how to make us sound great. He records a bunch of other bands in the area as well. He just knows what he's doing and he's a good friend of ours. Just makes the whole recording process really, really comfortable and fun and just really laid back. So we went to him again. And as far as the drum parts go, I'm pretty proud of them. I was working through a lot of the ideas that even post Liminal, when I'm practicing it with the guys or even in my own time, I'm still kind of uncovering ideas that, and I'm sure this is pretty common with drummers. What if I played this differently?
Yeah.
What if I did, that whole like Russian roulette of what shoulda, woulda, coulda kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I can definitely say going into Liminal, I had most all of my ideas cemented, how I wanted to pull things off, the kind of tensions that I wanted to hopefully create, the vocabulary I wanted to use, the statements I wanted to make, so on and so forth. So, I feel good about it. I'm very proud of those songs as a band and individually. And, it's really inspired me to just keep pushing myself and keep honing in on those skill sets that I want to keep improving on.
Yeah, man. When I saw y'all play, man, I was struck by your large cymbal choice. I certainly love the way that big cymbal sounds. I don't always love how expensive they are, especially when you break them. That
Oh,
could be a
yeah.
drag. But over the course of you beating them, they are a quite a nice sound. Come
Well,
time
thank you.
to record that stuff, like you were talking about, did you use pretty much your setup? Or those? Did you use break out the big boy cymbals and the whole thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's so I'm currently playing on my left side a Paiste 24-inch big beat.
Yeah.
24-inch giant beat as kind of my main crash ride.
Right.
And then on my right hand ride is a 24-inch Bill Stewart prototype from Zildjian, but that cymbal's been with me for years. So
Awesome.
it has just a real nice, just trashy, great woody stick definition, great bell pronunciation. It's a beast of a cymbal. And I mean, Bill Stewart's a beast of a drummer, and
Right.
I love that trashy dark
Oh yeah.
sound.
Totally.
So trying to bring that into the mix of what I'm doing creates a different color palette, because
Absolutely.
at the end of the day, I think that's really what cymbals are best utilized as, just different colors striking throughout the music.
Right. But big
Yeah.
cymbals nonetheless. I mean, if you're playing 324s, I remember looking at it up on the stage and I wasn't quite certain. I was like, he's either at least playing 22s, are those all 20? But then when I saw him, I was like, damn, dude, yeah, big ass cymbal setup. But
24s. Yeah.
again, to your point, I mean, if that's the sort of color the colors you're painting with, you might as well use some interesting colors while you're doing it, you know?
There you go. Yeah.
Absolutely. Are any other projects in Atlanta?
Yeah, so I also play in a band called Ladybird with Maurice, who does vocals and guitar for Apostle,
Yeah.
and Connor, who I mentioned earlier. He plays in a band called Malevich, which also great band. They're playing with us on the CD release show this Thursday,
Nice.
but he plays bass and does vocals in that band as well. And it's kind of a dirtier, I wouldn't say it's necessarily like Apostle, but it does have that kind of grindy blackened atmosphere,
Right.
crusty, just like, disgusting tinge of metal that I love.
Yeah. Speaking of that sort of grindy blasting aspect of at least with Apostle, how long ago did you start kind of going down the road of playing, blast beats and getting into that whole world? Because, it goes, my God, it's a deep, that is a deep river that runs a long way.
It is. I was actually, before we hopped on, I was just kind of jotting things down of like my own personal musical exploration and discoveries. And really, blast beats came a lot later. I'm 36 now, so around the 29, 30 year mark is when I started kind of delving into more extreme forms of metal.
Yeah.
Really starting with like grind and power violence and stuff like that. But I've to use Tyler Cockburn from Yautja's language earlier, like I have a love affair, a romance for him,
Right. That's funny, man.
because they can be very musical,
Right.
they're not just a wall of sound.
Sure.
There's a lot of things that you can do with them.
Right.
So that's kind of what I'm trying to kind of dig out of them, just different ways to play them, different ways to express them, and it's a deep, deep rabbit hole.
Yeah, it is. Who were some of the drummers that you were digging when you were originally starting to get into it, or that maybe inspired you to maybe go in that direction in the first place?
So, as far as drummers go, I'm unfamiliar with the names specifically, but as far as bands go, more power violence-y bands like Weekend Nachos,
Yeah.
Nails, Wound Man, huge Trapped fan,
Yeah,
still am.
I hear you.
Drop Dead, His Hero Is Gone, Tragedy, bands like that.
Yeah. As far, I mean, we talked a little bit about like some of the drummers that are maybe more specific to the style of music that Apostle plays, but what are some of the drummers and or just bands in general, be it modern, old, and everything in between that you've been digging as of late?
As of late, I've been into a lot of black metal,
Yeah.
which is kind of like on the timeline of extreme forms of metal that I have kind of like led me up to what I'm trying to do now. So Power Violence was like a direct predecessor of that. And then I just, started listening to some black metal one day, and I was just like, damn, this is it. This is it. So I'm more familiar with names of this genre because that's really all I listen to these days. But Trim from Emperor, I mean, he's incredible, just superhuman.
Right.
And he does a lot of jazzy stuff too. He's one of those guys that just, he not necessarily reinvented blasting, but he anchored it in such a way that made it sound jazzy and really just created all this color. Intention. He's a big one. I can't play anything like him, but whatever. I'll just keep trying until I can play one Emperor song.
Yeah, man.
But Dark Side from a band called Mgła from Poland, I believe. He's great. He does a lot of cymbal work, massive cymbal setup, but everything is meticulously chosen and everything is meticulously placed
Right.
to contribute to the musical conversation. Vince Vaughn, he plays in a group called, well, he's really the mastermind of a group called Blue Douse Nord from France.
Okay.
He's a multi-instrumentalist, fantastic, fantastic drummer, fantastic musician, but very, very, very good drummer.
Nice.
And then Lev from Kralis, I mean,
Of
he's a
course.
beast. I'm wearing a Kralis shirt right now, so
Nice.
gotta represent.
Right. Are you originally from Atlanta, man? Or like Georgia area?
Born and raised.
How old were you when you first started playing?
Like fifth, sixth grade, so like 11, 12.
Okay. Why the drums in the first place?
Well, I mean, I was bothering my parents with a musical instrument. I mean, I grew up in somewhat of a musical household, at least in the sense that music was always around.
Sure.
My dad fostered that love of music from a very early age. He was a guitarist. He is a guitarist himself, but he just kind of picks at it casually.
Yeah.
But really, it was just, what did I annoy my parents the most with?
Certainly drums.
Yeah, it was guitar for a little bit, and then that passed, and then it was bass, and then drums I just wouldn't shut up about. So one day my dad and I went to Ken Stanton and bought me a CB, one of those CB kits, like starter kits.
Oh yeah, CB percussion, yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's where I got my start.
Crazy. How long did that CB percussion kit last?
God, like 3 years tops, if that.
Wow. Were the first bands that you were playing in once you were getting out and doing it, what style of music was that?
Like skate punk.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Pennywise, NoFX, Lagwagon type stuff. So that was like my first love affair with music that coincided with me picking up, an instrument.
Right. Back in the day with those early bands, was there much of a scene? Were you able to sort of mix with older bands and get out and play, or was it more of like DIY or just, smaller spaces, et cetera? Yeah, like what was going on with that?
Oh, this, we didn't even play any shows. I mean,
Oh,
this was
gotcha.
just garage. Yeah, this was
Garage. You
just
played shows in the garage.
kids having fun,
Yeah.
it wasn't until like high school that I started playing shows. The middle school era was just me just kind of like getting my feet underneath me.
Yeah. Once you started playing shows, like what was going on with that? Where were y'all playing?
Oh man. Swayze's. I'm sure you've heard of Swayze's. Maybe not, but Swayze's for all of its opportunities, was definitely a home for a lot of like young bands, high school bands, even like late middle school bands.
Yeah.
So Swayze's was the main one. There was a place out in Douglasville called the Seven Venue, which Norma Jean and the Chariot, I believe Josh Scoggins' father-in-law, owned what was once a movie theater, and they
Okay.
transformed it into like a little all ages music venue, which became known as the Seven Venue.
Right. Was there any band that you saw live, where it shifted your attention to maybe some of the more extreme aspects of drumming?
Back then, it was breakdown, double
Totally.
bass, stuff like that.
Of course.
I was a huge Poison the Well fan. I mean, I still love Poison the Well,
Yeah.
but I didn't see them until I was in high school, which around that time, I was playing, trying to play at least
Yeah.
music in that vein. But I would say Poison the Well was definitely one of the biggest ones. 18 Visions, Hope's Fall, the Trust Kill, Ferret, Victory Records era
Right.
of hardcore, melodic hardcore.
Right. Late 90s, early 2000s, that whole,
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
everything from Botched to Dillinger and yeah, all those bands that were around.
Converge.
Totally.
Yeah.
I hear you, man. I'm a bit of an oddball in that I really like the later Poison the Well stuff. I really like the Tropic Rot
Oh,
record.
I love the Tropic Rot.
It's so good. I love the
Dude.
production on it. I really like his singing. I think they mix it up really well. The guitar tones are great. The drums are pumping. It's like,
Oh man.
it's really good.
I love that album, dude. That's honestly like Tear from the Red, yes. That is the quintessential. And some people would say like Opposite of December, like yes, all of the entire Poison the Well discography
Right.
rips.
Yeah.
But the Tropic Rot was just it was a beast of its own. I
Yeah.
mean, it was like to me it was like a fully realized
Yeah.
like everything that they had done from Tear from the Red and then You Come Before You and then Versions. It was like everything, all of those different sounds and instrumentation and styles all distilled into that one album. I love that album, dude.
I'm
I'm
with
so
you.
glad you said that.
Right
Yeah, I
on.
mean, Chris Hornbrook, he was doing some jazzy fills in that album, man.
Yeah.
A lot of ghost notes, a lot of like inverted six rolls and, paradiddles and stuff like that.
Right. Did you study with anybody at any point?
No, I'm totally self-taught.
Did you do like instructional DVDs or VHS tapes? I don't, depending on how old you are.
More so for like the entertainment aspect and to like see some of my favorites play.
Yeah.
Like I had a or I somewhere I have John Reilly's it's a jazz based DVD.
Right.
I really just wanted to watch him just rip rip some sweet fills and, incredible jazz grooves. Peter Erskine, The Art of Timekeeping. That was a great one too. Jojo Mayer, Secret Weapons
Oh
with a
yeah,
modern
of
drummer.
course. That guy's such an alien.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they all are.
Yeah, you're not
All those
wrong.
greats are.
Hell yeah, man. You mentioned some of the more extreme drummers and bands, et cetera, that you like, but I know from speaking to you previously, you've been into some of the jazzier drummers. Any in particular that you especially love?
Well, I mean, Tony Williams,
Yeah.
first and foremost. I
Hell
mean,
yeah.
he's my probably my biggest source of inspiration and influence. But I mean, he's number one. Obviously, like Elvin Jones, my
Sure.
good friend Joel Perdue, he lent me a Sonny Chirac album in my early 20s. It had Elvin Jones, one of his last recordings, playing on it. Just totally rocked my world, inspired me to go back and listen to more of his stuff.
Yeah.
Kendrick Scott, he's a great modern drummer, modern jazz drummer.
Okay. Of
Brian Blade,
course.
obviously.
Yeah.
Eric Harland,
Right.
all those guys.
I hear you, man. Well, it's good to hear you're at least mixing it up. I always love it
Oh, you
to
have
know that,
to.
yeah, it's not a black metal morning, day, and night. At least you're throwing in some jazz in there, man.
You have to, man. You got to balance it out.
Hell yeah. Well, you said that your parents had music playing in the house. What were they listening to, or your dad or your mom?
So my earliest music memory had to have been when I was probably 3 or 4. I vividly remember Tarkus from
Okay.
Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Yeah.
Just that artwork, with the tank armadillo and the manticore. It just totally rocked my 3-year-old mind. Super psychedelic.
Yeah,
But
that's cool.
that was the main one.
Yeah.
Tears for Fears. My dad, the Beatles is his favorite band, but he's just a lover of music altogether. The Who, Hendrix Experience, Zeppelin,
Of course.
the list goes on. The classics.
Awesome, man. Well, what do you have going on in 2024, man? I know you mentioned the release show coming up this Thursday. This will be out in time for that. Anything else y'all are looking forward to in 2024?
Yeah, definitely. We're starting to write the full length. Hopefully we can have it all written and recorded by the end of the year so we can kind of keep this, trajectory. Of course, we're not putting any pressure on ourselves to do that, but we just, as creatives, just coming off of the energy and just the sheer humbling positive responses that we've gotten from Liminal, we just want to keep the iron hot and just keep the wheels moving. So we've started writing. We have some out of state shows lined up. We're going to be focusing on doing like weekend runs towards the end of the year. I definitely want to, which I should probably start doing that now, booking like a week tour, maybe going up the East Coast. We tried to do that last year. Unfortunately, it was my first foray into like booking out of state. So I didn't give myself enough time, but we got a couple of good shows out of state. So really just hitting the road and just taking our music to new places and faces.
Did y'all make it up to New York previously?
No, so my girlfriend and I went to New York as like a birthday trip for me, which was incredible.
Right on.
But one day we would definitely love to play. St. Vitus would be great. Anywhere in New York for that matter.
Awesome, dude. Well, man, it was fun talking to you. Best of luck in 2024, and we'll have to catch up soon, my man.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks again for having me, Jody.
Yeah, man. All right, that does it for the bonus episode. Thanks for dropping in. Thanks to Evan for rapping. And per usual, we will catch y'all on the next one. Crash, bang, boom!